This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Well, hello. How are you doing? I'm actually doing well. I feel great, but I do still have quite a bit of sadness in my heart. I am rattled. I am rocked. I am forever traumatized. Well, not really traumatized. I'm forever disturbed by the Rob Reiner story. And when a celebrity passes away, and this particular tragedy is incredibly salacious, content creators monetize that in a way. I mean, when they're just very quick to report the story and everything related to the story, I was so saddened, disheartened, and devastated by this. The murders of Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle, that's part of the reason why I didn't cover it. I felt that I had nothing to add. I felt that I had nothing to say that hadn't already been said. And I also know how content creators really can jump on a clickbait story, but in all fairness, it's not fair for me to say that that's why so many podcasts covered this story. A lot of them do break news. I am not in the business of breaking news. I used to break news, but that really creates an expectation from your listeners / your followers, and I do not want that expectation on me. But I am so incredibly bothered by this story. And I am bothered by this story not because Rob and his wife are famous. I am bothered by this story because this is a story of two parents who had a son named Nick, who they paid for to go to rehab 18 times. Before he was 22 years old. Now, drug rehab, especially in Los Angeles, is astronomically expensive. And these parents paid 18 times before Nick was 22 years old for him to go into rehab. Obviously, it didn't work. These were parents who tried. These were parents who apparently really confided in their friends about their difficulties with raising their son. This is a story of Rob Reiner, one of the most talented and popular actor turned directors in Hollywood, who directed, I think it's called Being Charlie, a movie that Nick co-wrote about his own drugs, struggles with drugs and addiction. So not only did they pay for him to go to rehab, not only did they support him every way they could, not only did they try, but they literally helped him with a project that really could have put him on the map, the movie. His dad could have easily said, I'll ask someone if they want to help you on it, or I'll pay for another director or whatever. But no, his dad, Rob Reiner, lended his talent and expertise and experience to his son's project. And what was the thank you? And then this story just, it got worse, and it's like it's still getting worse by the hour. Then I was just reading that the reason why Nick Reiner and Michelle Reiner brought their 32-year-old useless son to Conan O'Brien's Christmas party on Saturday is because Rob wanted to keep an eye on his son. Rob told someone that he wanted to keep an eye on Nick. So, and Nick was living in the guest house at the time, right? So Nick is 32 years old with parents that are Hollywood royalty. And in those 32 years, all he managed to be was a useless, worthless loser. Even though his famous and accomplished dad directed his movie 10 years ago, all, or however many years ago, I think it was 2017, all Nick managed to do was be a piece of shit, worthless waste of space. And at 32, his parents still had to, like, literally take him to a fucking party to keep an eye on him. That's why I'm devastated. I'm devastated because there are many times when life is not fair, and there are many times when parents work hard, give their kids everything, parent their kids well, but their kids are worthless pieces of shit. However common it is that great people have shitty kids, and this is a reality that we don't really discuss enough, or if at all, in society. We tend to point the finger at kids, or sorry, at parents, because there's so many inept and abusive and dysfunctional parents. But on the flip side of that, there are great parents who have shitty, worthless children. So these people tried. And when there are good parents who have shitty kids, those good parents tend to not be stabbed to death by their child. That's why I'm bothered by this. That's why I'm disturbed by this. And that is why I believe everybody should be disturbed by this. Because losing a child to addiction usually does not lead to you being stabbed to death. This is so inexplicably sad. And on top of that, you got the 28-year-old Romy, who found her dad stabbed to death in the bed, and apparently she fled the scene. Because the reports always said she found her parents, but they're saying she found her dad dead and she fled the scene and she knew it was Nick. I assume his wife, Michelle, was in the bed next to him. It's like reports always said she found her parents. So I don't really know how you see one parent stabbed to death and the other stabbed to death next to them and you don't see it. I'm sure she saw both, whatever. But apparently she fled the scene, knew it was Nick. I feel like she's the one who called the police and said that Nick is dangerous. First, they set Nick's bond at, what, $2 million or $4 million, and then they decided to take it away so he couldn't be released on bond. They are trying to charge him with 2 counts of first-degree murder. And now I will get to what People magazine put out. And that's the thing too. It's like, man, the entertainment industry is eating this story up. They're putting out so many stories, and honestly, I'm enamored by it. I'm devastated, but I'm enamored by it. So I don't mind these stories, even though I'm heartbroken every single time. My heart breaks a little bit more every single time I read a story.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
So People Magazine has a source who told the magazine, Nick wanted to live a life that didn't exist. He was entitled. He didn't want to do any work, but expected to be loved the way the rest of his family was. Now, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the source was his sister who found her parents. Like, whoever gave this quote hates him deeply, as they should. The article also says that Rob and Michelle, who were 78 and 70 respectively at the time of their deaths, quote, felt enormous guilt for so long that they couldn't help Nick get his life together. Oh my gosh. So Rob and Michelle hoped that Nick's movie, Being Charlie, would help build Nick's confidence in the industry and in himself. Oh my gosh. Beautiful family. Nick's ugly ass aside, the other kids are gorgeous. So yeah, Nick said, let's see. Nick said in 2020, wait, hold on. So when Nick was promoting his 2015 film. So yeah, I was right. 10 years ago. Nick said, quote, I had no identity and I had no passions. And I think the reason I had no identity was because I have a famous dad and a famous grandpa, and that fame sort of informs who you are. So I wanted to edge out my own identity with a more rebellious, angry, drug-addicted sort of persona. Or persona. All right. The Reiners apparently were, quote, such a tight-knit family who did everything together. They could never reach stability with Nick. They tried everything, giving him space, keeping him close. But his struggles are so deep. It's just a parent's worst nightmare. They were such lovely people and tried in every way to help their son. All right, so now I will begin. Or I will read the statement that Romy, age 28, who found her murdered parents, and her brother Jake, 34. I will read the statement that they put out. And they said the following. Words cannot even begin to describe the unimaginable pain we are Words cannot even begin to describe the unimaginable pain we are experiencing every moment of the day. The horrific and devastating loss of our parents, Rob and Michelle Reiner, is something that no one should ever experience. They weren't just our parents. They were our best friends. We are grateful for the outpouring of condolences, kindness, and support we have received, not only from family and friends, but people from all walks of life. We now ask for respect and privacy, for speculation to be tempered with compassion and humanity, and for our parents to be remembered for the incredible lives they lived and the love they gave. End quote. So, you know, as I said, my heart hurts. My heart definitely hurts. To have to lose your parents at 28 fucking years old to your worthless piece of shit sibling who murdered them so horrifically, like, he didn't shoot them. He stabbed them to death. What the fuck were they thinking? Watching their son stab them to death. All right. Anyways, another story on a lighter note. Sorry, I shouldn't even have this story with the other story, but I am. So Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, record-breaking Eras Tour, raked in $2 billion, and there are reports that she gifted her staff with $197 worth of bonuses. It was reported long ago that she gave truck drivers a $100,000 bonus. And in her docuseries that came out over the weekend on Disney Plus, they show footage of Taylor gifting her staff with their bonuses. Everybody wanted to know how much the bonuses were. Guess what, y'all? Today we found out. So Taylor Swift gave her dancers a $750,000 bonus. To put that in perspective, that is five times their annual salary. So they got $750,000 in bonuses, each person, each dancer, on top of their salary. So that brings the amount that they made off of the tour to $900,000. And I'm so glad that Taylor has footage of her gifting her dancers with these bonuses, because I want this to influence other wealthy ass people to show a shred of generosity to the people that help make them who they are and the people that keep their fucking businesses going. We don't see this from anybody but Taylor Swift. I don't give a fuck if people say she should have done this behind doors and she shouldn't have filmed it, shouldn't be in her docuseries. That has nothing to do with the reality that ain't nobody else doing this. So shout out to Taylor Swift for the generosity she has shown from way before she was famous. I read a story the other week about how very early on when Taylor was a teenager and she saw all the fans that were waiting outside who didn't get into the concert, she put on a concert for those fans outside after her official concert. Taylor is someone who cares about her fans so deeply, and it's a big part of why she's as famous as she is. And her heart is commendable. And there are people who have more money than her and they give less. So to anyone who wants to think, oh, she can afford it, she's wealthy, it's a write-off. Everybody else who's wealthy and can afford it and it's a write-off, don't give. None of those motherfuckers be giving. Very, very few of those people be giving. So I'm going to give her flowers when it comes to this. It's beautiful. It's great. The amount of motherfuckers trying to get on Taylor Swift's next tour. It's going to be so funny. Anyway, that's all for right now. I will talk to you later. Take care of yourselves. I hope that you're feeling great during this holiday season. Talk to you soon. Bye. Let's see. Sorry, y'all. I forgot to end this recording. Let me do it now.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.